Okay, so first of all, it's a VOD tonight, so anyone wants to recommend some interesting topics to talk about, send them to me, PM me, and I'll collect all the interesting recommendations and collate them and come up with a solution. Maybe we'll have a vote. Maybe it's democratic. Celebrating democracy. So, have a vote. Okay. We're starting the parashios in which the paradigms of tefillah are established. This is tefillos keneged avos tiknum, Avram Yitzchak Yaakov, not just Avram Yitzchak Yaakov, the Imos. We'll see different scenes of tefillah and try to dedicate the next month to improving our tefillah. It is a urban legend that the father of the bride would walk into the Beis Medrash and speak to the Mashgiach and say, give me your biggest Talmud Chacham, I want him for my daughter. Learning Torah is not a barometer of spirituality. It can be very cognitively dissonant, it can be in your mind, it could be a math equation, it could be fun, it could be something which doesn't carry the same spiritual encounter with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Hopefully we're trying to bridge that gap. We're trying to take the knowledge that goes through your head and allow it to infiltrate your heart. But tefillah is really a better barometer. And the father of the bride would go into the yeshiva. I have firsthand information, firsthand evidence, testimony, and say, give me your best davener. Because that was always a better indicator of people that had a relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And there are many, many layers to davening, there are many different types of davening, and it's not one type of successful davening. But inasmuch as you're embarking on your life, and you're hopefully choosing a life in which you'll be serious about your avodas Hashem and dedicated to your relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's hard to think of another area of your life that's as crucial as how you daven and the habits that you develop and the muscle memory you're trying to develop here in yeshiva. And that's why, within reason, we're trying to work as sensitively and delicately with you as you can, but it's not something to just let slip and to take for granted and just assume. The same way, you know, you can't pick up the skills and the love for learning if you just are laissez-faire about it. You have to actively work and prepare and come to shiur and absorb the skills in chazer. Everyone's got to bring that same attitude to tefillah. And you know, obviously the fact that it means getting up a little earlier and it's hard for some people, that means it's not going to be one size fits all. And you know, no one's going to We don't kick you out of yeshiva if you don't make it to Minyan for a day, obviously, but something to take seriously. And to think about it, hopefully these shiurim will give you ideas and voices and patterns and things to think about. So each day before shiur, we'll talk a little bit about tefillah based on the parsha. So in Parshas Lech Lecha, we witness the first recorded tefillah. And it's a very interesting tefillah because it's described with a word which you wouldn't immediately associate with tefillah. Vayashkim Avram Baboker, he wakes up the next morning after stone has already been leveled, so it's a strange moment for us to showcase, for the Torah to showcase Avram's tefillah. If I had asked you, without really knowing Parshas Vayera, what's the moment of Parshas Vayera and of Avram's tefillah that the Torah should highlight? It's when he davens for Stel. Millions of people, hundreds of thousands of people are threatened with extinction, and he davens heroically. And yet the Torah doesn't record it. I'm sure he davened, but the Torah doesn't record what happened the day before. The Torah records what happens the day after. Vayashkim Avram Baboker El Hamakom Asher Amat Sham Espin Hashem. There are three parts of this pasuk, four parts. One is the early wake up, and we'll talk about waking up early, but not today. Two is there's a makom that's important. We'll talk about that tomorrow, why makom kavua is important in tefillah. Amat Sham Espin Hashem. He stands there in the presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Amad Sham is Pin Hashem. The Gemara in Brachos interprets the word Amida to mean Tefillah. Ein Amida ela Tefillah. Hence, we know that Avram davened. That's a very strange way to describe the first davening in human history, the first recorded davening. Standing? Where the lips? Where's the speaking? Where's the conversation? There's so many different languages for Tefillah, and we'll try to cover some of those languages. The Torah didn't have any shortage of verbs to describe Tefillah. Yet the first tefillah, this is the seminal moment of tefillah, is described through the word Amida. Why is that true? So here's the answer. Very often boys come and ask me, I need to improve my davening. Which sefer should I buy? Which sitter will help me? Which interpretation or translation or perush will help me have better kavana? And I always tell them the same answer. I want you to listen carefully. I don't want you to think about what you're saying. Ignore the words, ignore the kavana. Just try to maintain that sense that you're standing in front of the Melech Malchei Hamelachim for as long as you can. Don't let your mind or your imagination wander from that presence. Because at the core, tefillah is nonverbal. At the core, tefillah is simply standing in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu and interacting with Hashem. It's a spatial relationship. And that's what the Torah means to convey. Even if you say nothing, in theory, standing in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the nucleus of tefillah. It's that interaction with the Ribbono Shel Olam. And that's why the Torah chooses this moment after Stone, because from a narrative standpoint, Avram has nothing to daven for the next day. I'm sure he had something to daven for the next day, parnasa, refuah, whatever he needed, but there's nothing dramatic. The day before, there's something very dramatic on the docket. Will he save hundreds of thousands of lives? Today, it's the day after. They're all dead. Stone is level. He's not davening for anything, but he just returns and stands in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, El HaMakom, Asher Amad Sham, Es Pnei Hashem. It sounds strange, it sounds radical, but trust me, it works. Because until you have that presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in your mind, you're not thinking about what we all think about, and it's really hard, especially different times of day, if you're busy, if you're tired. It's really hard just to maintain that sense that you're talking to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Once that happens, the rest will flow. The rest will evolve. But until that happens, all the kavana is very, very abstract and disconnected from your heart. You have to feel that you're talking to Hashem. Imagine I'm talking to you, but I'm not really talking to you. My mind's wandering to 15 other things. I'm not really interacting with you. I'm just making believe I'm talking. It's false communication. Until that relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu is robust, all the kavana won't really be transformative. You may know what you're saying, but you don't know who you're saying it to. And the tefillah, you're saying it to yourself. You're saying it to the sports you're thinking about, to whatever else is on your mind. When Rabbi Lazar Hagadol, the Rebbe of Rabbi Akiva, was about to die, the students came in to visit him. Now, it was a very, very touching scene because they couldn't visit him, as we talked about beforehand, because he was in Cherem, because of the town of Shalach Nai. It's a very sad scene, and he's about to die, and they say, Rebbe, give us some last ideas. So he gives them a couple ideas about learning Tanakh and about all sorts of respect they should show one another. And Rabbi Elazar HaGadol's last statement to his Talmidim was, Uchshatem mispalalim, and he captured the same gist. He didn't tell them more kavana, less kavana, say Shema Kolenu better, say Avinu Makenu better. He said, the words will come. Just do lifnei me'atem omdim. Just have that sense that you're standing in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And he went back to this pasuk, Ela Makom Asher Amad. So try it. If you want to jumpstart your tefillah, it's now Chodesh Cheshvan, good time to think about it. And let me put it to you in a different way, okay? There are two major blocks to your time in yeshiva. Now, till Chanukah, and then Chanukah till Purim. Once Purim time comes, it's over. Especially this year, because this year, Pesach, post-Pesach, is so brief. It's 5 weeks, 6 weeks. And those 5 weeks or 6 weeks are Swiss cheese weeks, because it's Yom HaTzmaut, and Yom Yishalayim, and Yom HaShoah, and Shavuos, and Lag BaOmer. And every 10 minutes, something else is happening. It's a great time to be here, but it's a lot of distraction. So a lot of guys really get into it this part of the year, and a lot of you are already into it. Now's the time to start thinking about getting into it, how you can get more traction. Some guys just don't make it before Hanukkah, and hopefully they're able to really get that traction between Hanukkah and Purim, and this year you've got the extra month, so you got a little more time to try to get that traction. But it's really a time to sit there and say, you know what, my davening is not really getting me very far right now. How can I reset it? If you want to try to reset your davening, this is a good tool. For the next week or so, don't think about what you're saying. Just imagine yourself as standing in front of the Melech Malchei Hamelachim, in front of the Kisei HaKavod. Imagine a Kisei HaKavod if that helps and make it more palpable. And try to think of that. And then things will happen. Things will flow. But until that happens, all the kavanas in the world and all the purushim in the world really won't help. Tomorrow we'll talk about, well, why is this so challenging in the modern world? And how does Makom Kavua help that? And as part of that, how does davening in yeshiva help that? Like, why is it important to daven in yeshiva for Makom Kavua? We want to try to build habits for davening, but we'll see, Mitzvah Hashem, why the word makom appears in Avram's tefillah. Makom Asher Amad Sham, but clearly Avram's tefillah is ID'd by Amida. Okay? Okay. We're starting a sugya of